Thank you for tuning in to episode number 13 of the Email Design Podcast. We are your hosts. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
And we've got a special episode of the podcast for you today where we are reviewing the latest entries to our community contest, community-like email design contest right in the Litmus community. So if you're a usual listener to the podcast, just make sure you go over to emaildesignpodcast.com. We're definitely going to be going over visual stuff of the email, and we're going to try to make sure it's easy to listen to, but definitely check out the visual components to it. So Jason, why did we do this contest of actual creative navigation in email, which was the premise of the whole email? What was sort of the reason behind all of this?
Yeah, so this kind of got started because a community member named Jerry Martinez, 3 months ago, he posted in the community this discussion about a hamburger menu in email, which was a great discussion. He talked about how he had this client that wanted something very specific in the email. And I think that's something that a lot of people run into in the industry. They have clients, they have these requests, and they need to figure out how to accomplish this task. So his client had this responsive email that looked nice. It was for a credit union, but they had this navigation menu, and they didn't want it taking up that much space on that mobile view. So they asked for a hamburger menu, which is something that's really commonplace in the web design world, but it's not quite commonplace yet in email design. So he shared his code, shared this email that was this fantastic example of a functioning hamburger menu in an email design. So that got us thinking, you know, what other kind of creative things can people come up with when it comes to navigation elements in email design? It's not a use case that everybody has, but certain people do have it. There's a lot of clients that want navigation elements. So how can we kind of use that to our advantage? How can we pull off these weird, creative, kind of quirky things in an email with all of the limitations that are typically associated with email design? So it was definitely spurred on by Jerry's original hamburger menu, which if you're watching the video, I have the builder example of it up here. And you can actually see it in action. It drops down beautifully, animates beautifully, has these 3 links that people might be interested in for the credit union. And press it again, it'll pop right back up. On desktop, it's just that full kind of always displayed horizontal navigation menu, but it's this great example of somebody having a client-driven problem and doing something creative in email design to actually get a good outcome, you know?
And we're going to see this pretty much throughout every example used here, but he used the checkbox hack to make that menu work. So essentially, the little hamburger menu icon is actually a checkbox toggle, and then he's sort of hiding and showing the content based on the check state of the actual input, which is really cool. I've used this to do an interactive tour in email for like a builder email we did a while ago. People are starting to use this for the navigational elements. But yeah, using the checkbox hack to really sort of hide and show the content based on the check state of that actual toggle is how he's doing it. And it's not supported everywhere, as with everything with email, but it's a really elegant way to sort of implement that type of interaction.
Exactly. Yeah. So Jeremy's original kind of example was definitely what spurred this on. So yeah, we held our second community contest and challenged people to come up with creative navigation patterns. So that's what we kind of want to spend this time talking about in our podcast, or some of our favorite ones. So kind of moving on from Jeremy's, Justin Koo from Fresh Inbox, we talk about him a lot on the podcast because he does some really great work. He did this great example of a reader mode navigation for a mobile email. So a lot of people send out emails like this, kind of like a digest email. I know Medium has one like this. It has a lot of content to it, a lot of stuff that requires scrolling. So scrolling is usually not a huge issue on mobile devices, but if you have too much content, you might want to figure out another method of displaying that. So his solution was to have a reader mode that when you press this reader mode button, it only displays one article at a time, but it pops up this nice little navigation at the very top of the email with these left and right arrows that allow you to switch back and forth between these different articles. So it's this really great solution for having a more compressed, compact message, but still having access to all of that content that people are used to reading on a desktop environment, something like that. And I think a really cool thing is it has the title of the article. It has this article index at the very top in that header bar, the navigation bar. Mm-hmm. And when you tap on that, it drops down a nice little animated menu with each of those articles too. So you can always have that kind of context of what you're actually looking at, what's in the email itself. So another great example of somebody kind of stretching the limits of email here.
This was absolutely sick. It was my favorite entry. Obviously, this entry won. But what I liked about this was sort of the spirit of what we were aiming for mm-hmm. with the contest. We wanted to go bigger beyond menus, right? Yep. We literally weren't saying this has to be a menu navigation. We just said creative navigation. And with email, there's a lot of different ways to sort of consume content, structure content, and then navigate the content. And we wanted sort of bigger overarching ideas as to how to do that. And this was a similar idea that I've been thinking about for doing, and Justin just went and sort of implemented it into this reader mode. And it's just really, really cool. It's something that I think we struggle with our emails mm-hmm. ourselves, because they're so modular, but sometimes they get really, really long.
Yeah.
And then it's just hard to keep like scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And I think this is an interesting concept. I might change some things, but interesting design concept of how to handle it, to like literally make each section sort of linkable and not swipeable, but like tap left and right, or tap the, you know, a menu to jump to a different point. I think it's a very interesting design way of thinking, and it goes beyond just a menu. It's really thinking about how do you actually consume all the content in the email.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, let's face it. I mean, some people, they're stuck with having to do stuff like this because, mm-hmm. you know, I know the argument is like, oh, well, just don't have as much content. And it's like, as much as we can agree with that from like a design strategy yeah. perspective, that's not the reality in all of the situations.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is so client driven. And I mean, back in the day, I used to do client work, and I had people that would insist on dumping an entire multiple blog posts into a newsletter. So kind of having a technique like this to account for that would have been awesome back in the day, you know? So it's cool to see him actually thinking about that larger problem and coming up with a good solution for it.
Yeah, exactly. And this uses the checkbox hack again as well for changing the different states. So what's cool is like once you click on tap on the reader mode, that's what triggers that whole reader mode and into that check state. But then from there, it's sort of different overlays. And then as you're clicking on and swiping left and right, like tapping left or right or tapping on the menu, all of that it's doing is those are essentially fixed like bars or sections. And then they're just being thrown off the page and sliding left and right. Very similar to the B&Q email yep. that we saw. It's a very similar concept and strategy. So if you haven't seen that episode of the podcast, be sure to go back a few episodes or towards the beginning. We went over the B&Q email with this amazing carousel-like interaction, and it sort of had this like, you know, same section thing that went left and right on mobile based on an input. So it uses that same design component. All right. So we're going to get into some more cool stuff like a GUI nav, a transforming hamburger menu, and a sticky nav left. But we just want to take a second to let you guys know that you can catch all of the episodes of the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. All of the show notes and links, we're going to have the full builders, all the code samples and everything we talked to right here for this episode. So be sure to check it out there. Also, tweet along with the hashtag email design podcast. Jason and I are interacting with you guys there on anything and everything. And also subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes so you never miss an episode of the podcast again. And we have a special offer for you guys today from our good friends at Litmus, who are also our amazing employer, Jason. But we were customers before we were employees, so really easy for us to pitch. You can test your email in over 40 different email clients before you send, and you can make sure your emails look great everywhere. There's no rendering issues or problems. If you have any, you can troubleshoot them. You can do interactive testing and drill in on a specific email client. You can check your subject line, check your links, check your images to see how long those are loading. You can do a code analysis to see if there's any problems with your code. There's all these amazing things that really just gives you, you know, when you go to press the send button, we want to remove that fear. We want to help you sleep at night so that you know you can send your email and make it look great everywhere. And, I mean, I don't know how many hours of my life have been saved, Jason, because of Litmus. I mean, it's
a whole lot.
It's up there. It's up there. So, give a quick shout out and thank you to @LitmusApp on Twitter, and be sure to check out the URL litmus.com/giftcard and input the coupon code podcast for a free 14-day trial of Litmus. All right, so now I want to get into this example from Remy, who I'm just going to say Remy because I'm going to totally butcher his last name.
Yeah.
So Remy was actually a winner of one of our previous
contest.
Yeah, the alt text contest. You should check out some of the previous contests over on the Litmus community at litmus.com/community. But he did this really cool example of a GUI navigation example. And what's cool is that this was actually already a standard technique that, or not a standard technique, but this technique was already done before. So what he did was he actually didn't really create this navigational technique or whatnot. The cool stuff that he did was he actually made it work for email. Mm-hmm. And it was all of sort of the different considerations and the implementations he did to make this work in email, which was absolutely fascinating. And I actually learned some stuff about reading his write-up about CSS that I didn't know before. So like with everybody else, he uses the checkbox hack for the check state to sort of use the GUI navigation and make the animation happen. And it works great in a lot of the clients that support progressive enhancement and whatnot. What was really cool, though, was for some of the fallbacks. So, for example, Outlook.com and Thunderbird, they disabled the use of checkboxes.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did for those classes was he targeted those email clients using external class for Outlook.com and then a different selector to target Thunderbird, and he essentially used those for on hover. So on hover effect for those email clients, he was able to get it to work instead of checking. So it's a bit different of an interaction, but really cool when you think about an implementation standpoint for it. Also interesting how in Outlook.com, it supports CSS transforms, but not for pixel units, only for percentage units. And it actually filters any transform property to translate 3D, which I didn't even know. And that was something interesting because I don't really think about using translate or, you know, transform for Outlook.com. So that was fascinating to find stuff like that. And using simple fallbacks for Gmail and Yahoo. So he actually used a cool rule. I always get messed up on even pronouncing this because it's like there's a hotel for it, but the aria labeled by attribute hack for Gmail. And then he actually used the @media Yahoo media query, the brand new Yahoo media query hack, to have a simple fallback render. And then Outlook 2007 to 2013, it just uses like a simple navigation inline without any extra code. So to me, what was amazing was here's this amazing example of progressive enhancement, but he went like through all this stuff to make sure that it worked in all these other clients and the different design considerations of it, which is what I really liked about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is such a cool thing. And yeah, we've seen it before. I feel like the app that kind of pioneered this circular pop-out navigation was Path. We've seen this before, you know, and especially on the web, but seeing it applied to email and, yeah, somebody taking the time to figure out how to get it working everywhere is absolutely amazing. So it's cool. You took this great idea. It looks so awesome when it works, you know. It's just so liquidy and such a delicious little effect, you know. But seeing it apply to email was absolutely great. So it's kind of moving on from that. Another good friend of Litmus, Mark Robbins, wildly active in the community, always has some great stuff. He has this another take on the hamburger menu. So when you think of a hamburger menu, you think of pressing the little hamburger icon and it drops down a list essentially of links. But he took it a couple of steps further and animated in a kind of different way. So it has this great rotating effect with the links kind of popping out as little buttons on this kind of circular shape for the menu. So it was another cool take on the hamburger menu. You know, we love seeing this kind of stuff. It's nothing like really crazy. I'd be curious to see if somebody actually used this in production and actually got it kind of working with their branding and the style of the overall email. But it's really, really cool example of kind of taking a common concept and doing some weird stuff with it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those scenarios where, like you said, this feels like it could be really cool in the right branding type of context and sort of the right brand persona or personality. I think it's cool. I don't know that I've really seen too many animation effects with the hamburger menu like that before.
Yeah, same here.
So it's definitely one of those things where this is very, like, this was probably the most progressive enhancement that we saw for in an example, I think, just because this, you know, to get the animation to work, it needs to be, you know, in the right client. So the support for that is a bit limited compared to some of the other techniques here, which is just more of a standard like checkbox, check state where, you know, it can just sort of show hide stuff. But this really needs the animation for this technique to sort of have the same effect and really work. But I thought it was cool. I think it could definitely be helpful in the right sort of context. And, you know, if you think about maybe even doing something like this in tandem with Justin's technique, you know, it could be cool to do something a bit more interactive and immersive of an email. And Mark's working on really cool, amazing stuff at Rebel Mail that's using crazy interactive stuff like this. So he might have, you know, I don't think he did anything for it, you know, in his actual sense now. But, you know, you could think about, hey, maybe this creates some sort of other interaction elsewhere in the email if I click on this, you know, menu item or or whatnot. So I think it's cool. And I think it's one of those things where it would definitely sort of have a cooler effect on mobile than just sort of playing with it in the desktop. And sort of getting that feedback and interaction state. So I just thought it was cool because this is probably one of those like crazy left field type of ideas that is really cool. And the code is really cool to just sit down and read through how he was able to get the whole transforms to work and the animations to work on the whole menu for it.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if anybody kind of riffs on this and puts it to use and comes up with something even better, you know, so... If you do, shoot us an email. We'd love to see it. And if you do want to dig through the code, again, we're going to have all the builder examples on emaildesignpodcast.com for this episode show notes. Check it out.
Yeah. All right. The last example we want to go over for this podcast. So we had a ton of entries, a ton of amazing entries that you can go and check out. But the last one we want to go over is by Smita. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I think so.
Yeah, we got some amazing names in the Litmus community just going through all this stuff. But I really like this example because I think it's a concept that can be explored even deeper and further. And I'm surprised there actually weren't more entries that sort of explored this concept. And the concept basically was a sticky navigation. And so it was a regular standard navigation for a desktop view, three-item navigation used here. And then when it got resized to mobile, it essentially became this fixed navigation on the right-hand side, which stayed fixed even as you scrolled down the email. So it sort of provides those navigational points. And I think what is interesting about it is simply because, you know, being able to provide different navigation menu points, which are just always visible, I'm just surprised that wasn't played around with a bit more. And I know like a hamburger menu could, you know, potentially always be present, but this doesn't use a hamburger menu. This actually has visible navigational components. And I think that's what I was surprised that people haven't explored more is actual, you know, keeping things visible at all times. And how could you sort of use the design in that way? How could you sort of play around with that and make the email a bit more interactive that way by keeping something always visible, always fixed, always in view? And I don't think the implementation was completely there from a design perspective, but I thought it had sort of the right idea and a right concept to further explore. I don't know how you felt about that, Jason, but I thought it was cool.
I really like this. Again, from kind of design perspective, it wasn't amazing or anything. It's not a mind-blowing example. But I really, really like this because it's such a simple thing to do, but nobody's really doing it. And I feel like you could put it to great use in an email, especially for something like not even navigation links to your website or anything, but a call to action that's always visible. If you have the right email design, and it's always right there on the right-hand side, it's easily accessible by your thumb, then it could be an amazing component of your email campaign. So again, yeah, the execution's kind of whatever, you know, it works well, it looks fine, you know, but I think in the right hands, a technique like this would be really, really cool. So I'd love to see people kind of take this and explore it and see what they can actually do with it.
Or even moving it to the top or the bottom.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe it's like on a corner, diagonal, changing, you know. That's where I think this is a really interesting concept for people to explore further.
Yeah.
And I give a ton of credit for being the only one who actually really introduced this concept at all.
Yeah, especially when, like, fixed navigation's pretty damn common on the web. I feel like most sites now have a fixed header of some sort. So it's cool to see her actually doing something about an email. So
yeah. It becomes a bit tougher, you know, like the Gmail app does kind of throw everything through a loop. So, I mean, that's where it does, that's where it's like, this just might be more of a progressive enhancement type of thing for other email clients. But, you know, this is the stuff to really dig into, and really, you know, sort of gnaw at and figure out what we can do for email. So this is a concept that I think, especially, if you are very CTA driven for a specific email, I encourage you to explore this method even further.
Absolutely.
And we're also doing another contest right now, Jason, aren't we?
We are. Absolutely. Yeah, we're holding these every month, depending on how entries go. We might extend them a little bit to get those entries in there. But yeah, this month we're focusing on creative data design in email. So again, this was kind of we took our inspiration from somebody sending a cool email. In this case, it was a design agency in the UK called Display Block, that you might know. Alex Ilan is a community member, active on Twitter. He's written some articles on the Learning Center. But I'm sure he had a hand in this email. It's an infographic email that they sent out a while back. So we really like that entry. There's a link to it on the community page for the contest. And we wanted to see what people could do with data-heavy emails. How can you display data effectively and elegantly? What kind of creative things can you do with infographics or tables or whatever in an email design? Because we haven't really seen too much of that before. So yeah, it's going on right now. We're hosting it with our good friends over at Code School. Do your entries, get them in there. You have the chance to win some awesome stuff, some swag from Litmus and Code School, 2 free months of Litmus, 2 free months of Code School. They have some amazing resources for learning development. So yeah, check it out, get your entries in, and have some fun with it.
Yeah, I can't wait to, you know, see what people come up with. I'm looking forward to doing more infographic like emails for Litmus as well and exploring that. So yeah, get it in. Gonna be a ton of fun. And if people keep doing cool stuff, we'll keep reviewing it in the podcast here and sharing it with you guys. So be sure to check out the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. All of our show notes and links, everything we discuss, it's right there. Tweet along with the hashtag emaildesignpodcast with Jason and I, and subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes. Also, don't forget a free 14-day trial of Litmus. Just head over to litmus.com/giftcard and input the coupon code podcast for free 14 days, unfiltered, all access of Litmus. All right, that's it for this time on the podcast, Email Geeks. Until next time, reminding you, keep your table cells aligned and your styles in line.